Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We hope this week's message encourages and blesses you as we dive into God's Word together. Our mission at Reach is to see lives changed by Christ together in community by loving God, loving people, and reaching our world. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.
So this morning, we're continuing our series in prayer, which we've been doing for the last 2 weeks. So welcome back to week three. Quick question, and this is not to condemn you, but I'm just going to ask, you don't raise your hand. Typically, when I ask questions or say things to you that usually sound like I need a response, it's just for you to think about them, so don't say anything out loud. But my question for you is, have you been praying? Gonna make some direct eye contact. Everybody's like, partly today, hopefully, is gonna be an encouragement for you to keep praying. That's the title of today. So, week one, we started with the Lord's Prayer, which we're gonna look at a different gospel representation of the Lord's Prayer, and then a parable that got, or actually two parables that come after the Lord's Prayer. So we talked about that, you know, Jesus intentionally, the disciples said to him, like, teach us to pray, and he gave them this pattern. Not that we would recite the words over and over again, but that we would pray in that way. And then last week, we looked at the importance of withdrawing the prayer. Jesus, in his chaotic, busy 3 years of ministry, intentionally took time away to be with the Father, and how important that is for us when things are going well and when things are not going well and when we've got to make major decisions and things are going on, we should be going to the Father. And so we need to pull ourselves away so that we can kind of hear the voice of the Lord, because it's just noisy in our life. It's chaos. I mean, like, for most people in most worlds, we walk around with things in our ear, or, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I have these little devices. My wife loves them. It's not an earring. It's just a little listening device that you can listen to things. And she loves saying something to me and me not hear her. It's one of her favorite things to do. And it's because sometimes I have those. But sometimes we have so much noise in our life that we don't have an opportunity to hear. And so that's what last week was. So this week, or really over the next 2 weeks, we're going to tackle the hard parts of prayer. Today, we're going to explore what it means to pray persistently, trusting God's timing and aligning our hearts with His will. Persistent prayer isn't about wearing God down. Because if you want something that He doesn't want you to have, I don't care how much you pray for it, He ain't going to give it to you. But persistent prayer is about going to the Father with trusting His timing and His love for us to answer what we need. And sometimes that persistent prayer is about wearing us down. We have hard hearts. We have a willing desire for things that we know that we shouldn't want. And so we want to deepen our trust in His character and His promises. So we're going to dive into Luke 11 this morning, starting in verse 1, and discover how Jesus calls us to ask, seek, and knock with bold faith and unwavering persistence. So before we get into the Word, let's pray. Oh, Father, everyone in this room has gone through seasons, is in a season of things that we need You to respond in, and we don't feel that You're doing Your end. And so, Lord, this morning, as we talk about the idea of to keep praying in spite of a lack of response, in spite of things not going the way we want, Lord, I pray that You would inspire us to intentionally shape our hearts and our wills to Your kingdom come, Your will be done, as we ask for things that You want to see happen. So, Lord, would You change our hearts this morning as we hear Your word? We love You. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 11, 1 through 13. The first, I'm just going to read to you because it's another version of the Lord's Prayer. It starts in verse 1. It says, "Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And one thing that we talked about over the first couple of weeks is Jesus, his disciples were Jews. Jews historically had a rhythm of prayer where prayer wasn't foreign. It wasn't like, hey, here's this new thing I need to understand. This was something that they wanted to understand better. So when Jesus is asked by them, teach us to pray, he understands that they're saying, hey, like, how do we connect with the Father? And so he gives them this famous, some of us grew up in churches where we recited it every Sunday. He says, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not in temptation. So he gives them this pattern to pray. Starting with this reality, like, look, I can't convince you to keep praying unless you understand that you're praying to a good God who is your Father. Because, like, if you have this kind of misunderstanding of who God is to you, and you're like, well, I have to manipulate him so that I get what I want. Because some of us, when we think Father, we think of children, and we think, you know, if you have children, they try to manipulate to get you, get what they want. They do it in very nice ways. And you, which we're going to talk about at the end of this, you are a good and smart parent that was like, I see what you want, but I know what you need. And so instead of that new Xbox or instead of that new whatever, I'm going to give you something you actually need. So Jesus gives them this pattern to connect to him as Father, understand that he is holy and reverently coming before him, and starting before you ask anything to understand that we want his kingdom come and his will be done. Like, our expansion of the gospel will not come by our will and our kingdom. It'll come by his. And then he asks in here, which will be good because we're going to talk about bread today. He says, give us today our daily bread. Asking God, like, supply the need that I need. Most of us in this room, we talked about this in the first week, most of this room aren't concerned about our daily bread. Now, here's a little snow joke for you. If you don't have your bread, you're probably going to do without, because I don't know what about bread and milk and maybe eggs that when the weather turns, people are like, we got to have it. And then you have this bread. It's almost like for those that also survived the coronavirus, if you remember when toilet paper wasn't available, we went to Costco and bought this big thing of toilet paper that we regretted because it wasn't good toilet paper. So people are going to regret. They go to the bread aisle and it's like, this is the only bread that's left and we must get it because during these 2 days that we may not be able to leave the house, we will die if we don't have bread. Okay. And he's telling us, look, Lord, give us what we need today. And then I love this piece here. He's talking to us, like, in this prayer, forgiveness needs to be a part of what we do. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone who's indebted to us, and lead us not in temptation. And then he, right after this, and I love this piece, right after he teaches them to pray, he gives two illustrations about the difficulties of prayer. And so today, we're going to talk about this idea of to keep praying. Next week, we're going to talk about prayers of lament. And if that's not a word that we walk around like, are you lamenting today? But that's prayers of, like, you're brokenhearted. A lot of the Psalms, David is crying out, like, why are you ignoring me? Why are you, where are you at? You're going to leave me to die. And it's kind of like complaining prayer, which we don't have to, you know, we just want to do it right. In a good lament, you get to the end of that, like, letting your heart out, and you allow God to be God, and you say, but God, I trust you. So that's next week. But right after he talks to them that this is how you pray, he gives them these two parables. So start in verse 5. And then he said to them, which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. So here's a question for you. I've seen these little TikToks or little videos of, like, we're going to give you X amount of dollars if you call this person and they answer. Y'all seen those? Well, think about, it's, sorry, throw something out here. So think about this. Who at midnight, don't do this, because they may not be your friend anymore. But who at midnight, if you have a need for something, who are you going to go knock on their door that they're going to give you what you need? Think about, and this is the scenario that we're in. I found this, and I don't know if this is the absolute truth, but I love this. I read in one commentary, he's just talking about why three loaves. Why three loaves? One loaf is for the friend to eat. So we're going to talk about, there's somebody comes to his house, is asking for, or not asking, but he shows up at his house, and in their culture, you provide for them. It is horribly disgraceful to not have anything for them. But three loaves, one for the friend, one for himself so they could eat together, and one so that he could give him something to go to show his generosity. In verse 6, it says, for a friend of mine has come and arrived on a journey and has nothing to set before him. So a friend shows up to him in the middle of the night. And I read another thing in the commentary. You're like, why are people traveling at night? They don't know you're coming. And your friend showed up because clearly they didn't know that they were coming or they would have had bread ready for them. So this friend shows up at your house and says, hey, we're here. You're like, great. And so this friend is like, what am I going to do? Because in this culture, hospitality is a big deal. And if you don't have anything, so I'm sure he welcomes them, wakes his wife up and be like, entertain them for a second. I'm going to run out. There's not a grocery store. They can't run to, well, I guess Walmart's not 24 hours anymore. But, you know, you're like, what are you going to do? So we have to give them something. So they go to their friend's house and knock on the door. Verse 7. And he will answer him from within. I love this. They didn't have intercom, and they must have very thin walls. There's no, you know, so he's knocking on the door. And you don't think about it in the sense of your house. Think about it in this house. There might be two rooms, a room where they cook and kind of congregate, and another room where they sleep. And they all sleep together. And some parents are like, oh, that sounds like a nightmare. They're all sleeping in the same room. And so the person from within, not coming to the door, I imagine what he says seems like it would wake up the family more than him getting out of the bed. But he says, do not bother me, for the door is shut and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. The children are awake at this point. And remember this, because we can forget about this illustration. Jesus uses these to teach a point. So he just teaches them, this is how you pray. And then the first thing that he tells them is this idea that we must continue to ask for these things. People haven't changed. We still need to be reminded to not give up. I think one of the most discouraging things that we can experience in this life of faith is things don't happen the way we want them. And when they don't happen the way we want them, we immediately begin to think, which he's going to clarify some of this, we immediately begin to think that God doesn't love us. God doesn't care for us. He's not going to provide. Verse 8, I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend. What a good friend. Yet, because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. What got him the bread? Was it his friendship? No. It was his persistence. I mean, I imagine this little scenario. The friend is there. He just yelled. And the friend is like, okay, that's great. I'm going to knock again. And I'm going to keep knocking until you get your butt out of bed and give me those three loaves. It's nice that this friend has the three loaves to give him, but he's knocking on his door, and I'm not sure how their friendship did after this point. And maybe he put a plaque on his door that says, no solicitation after, you know, whatever. But he tells them that's what happens. And so Jesus is telling them, hey, if you're going to pray, I need you to understand that prayer isn't a vending machine that you put your money in, and you hit your two buttons, and you get what you want. Well, maybe it is like a vending machine, because sometimes that little thing, it scoots all the way up to the end and leans on the glass, and you got to shake it a little bit. It's the same thing. Jesus is trying to get his disciples to understand that your willingness to ask for things that are need, and also realize this, this person was coming for bread. It's not like he was knocking on the door going, hey, like I need some, you know, whatever. I need something to decorate my house. Like I need, what's something that you don't really need at midnight? A lawnmower. Okay, yeah. Thank you, Greg. Thank you. I'll add that to next service. Knocking on their, what a friend. You borrow their lawnmower at midnight and then you mow your grass right after that. He's like, we're moving. But he's asking for something that he would have. He's asking for something that's a necessity. Like bread, which we talk about this not too long ago when it says, give us today our daily bread. We look at it through the lens that Jesus is the bread of life. He is the thing that we need to sustain our life. Bread is this idea of a substance that we need to continue to live. We have to eat. Verse 9, and I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Ask and keep on asking. I like the, if you're familiar with the Amplified Bible, this idea isn't just a one-off, like knock and be done. I didn't get an answer. Seek. One time, stop seeking, or ask one time. It is the idea, like if you think of it through your kids, how many times when your kid really wants something, do they just ask for it one time? Like this is the heart of God. They want and they will wear you down because they're asking and asking. It's the same thing here. When he's saying ask, seek and knock, he's telling them it is a continual thing, that you will continue to do that. Real prayer changes our hearts. We will not keep praying for things that aren't important to us. One of the things persistent prayer does, if you're unwilling to continue to pray, it probably doesn't matter to you. Think about it through the lens, and this is partly why we were asking for us at the beginning of this 21 days of prayer and fasting to pick some things that you want to see God do. And that when they're your heart, like, let's just think, if you have a child that you want to see and experience Jesus, you will pray for that over and over again. The things that we persistently pray for, it will be things that we want to see. It'll be things that our heart longs for. We want that. There's this guy, George Mueller. Some of you may have heard of him. He was a Christian from the 19th century who was well known for never asking people for money, but only praying for provision. It was literally like his thing. He was like, I'm not going to come and say, this, our orphanage needs money. He would only pray because he wanted to demonstrate to his kids and to the ministry that God is in charge of this. There's one testimony that they literally had no food. And this guy started, I think, in his lifetime, cared for over 10,000 orphans and built several orphanages. But early on, he was praying because they came to dinner and the kids, he was like, let's pray. They had nothing to eat. Nothing. There was no food for them. And they said, let's pray. Let's bless the food. And so they pray for food and bless their food. And as they finish praying, they hear a knock on the door. And there was a bread merchant that just, for whatever reason, dropped off bread that day and that moment. And right after that, they had a milk merchant, this is in the 19th century, that was carting his milk from one place to the other, and one of the wheels broke right in front of the orphan, and so he had all this milk that was going to go bad, and so he gave them this milk. And this is this guy, he would pray, and he had five friends that he prayed to come to faith, and after several years, the first friend became a believer. After 10 years, two more came to faith. The fourth friend believed after 25 years, and the fifth friend finally became a Christian shortly after his death, over 50 years after Mueller began praying for them. See, some of us, we have to understand that we want to pray for things that we want to see. And let me tell you what God wants in our world. God wants people to know Him. God wants people to experience the grace and mercy of salvation, because this life is hard and difficult, and Christianity does not save you from that. Our world is still hard and difficult, and we must know that the eternity that we're seeking for other people is worth the prayer. Like, this is for 50 years. Could you imagine for 50 years praying? Could you imagine laying on your deathbed? Because he is aware. But when he died, number five still didn't know Jesus. But his friend experienced life in Christ because of that persistent prayer. What things do you need to keep praying for? Verse 11. So he's continuing on with this idea. What father among you, if his son asks for fish, will instead of fish give him a serpent? That's a really mean trick. Like, here's fish, I'm going to give you this serpent. And then he says to him, or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. If you then, who are evil, let's just let that settle in. And you're like, I'm a good person. I've been a good father. Let me just tell you, in comparison to our holy, pure Father, we're evil people. And that's why we need Jesus. That's not to point out that you're horrible people. That's to point out that we have a good and loving God. And he said, if you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask of him? Like, our Father is better, more loving and gracious than both of these people, than the friend that didn't immediately get up when he heard the voice of his beloved friend. See, he's not comparing God to these two people. He's telling us that God is better than them, because they came through with the bread and with the gift in spite of not being as good and gracious and loving as our Father in heaven. We have to know this, so we don't lose heart and stop praying. If we don't know that we have a good God in heaven, and some of us need to be reminded right now because life isn't going our way, and because of that, we feel like he's not good. He's not gracious. If we understood the mercy that he is extending to us right now to draw in breath and to have life one more day, it would change our perspective. But instead, we look at things online or watch TV shows, and we think to ourselves, God's not good because I don't have fill in the blank. God's not good because he's not coming through with this. Or God's not good because I'm experiencing pain in this world. And let me just tell you, we have a God who experienced all of those things. We have a God who experienced rejection. We have a God who experienced pain and suffering from his creation. And the difficult part is he did not deserve any of it. As much as we think at times, a lot of our pain and suffering are of our own doing. We don't like to say it. We like to blame God for things that he's not doing for us. But a lot of times it is us causing the things that are getting us the pain that we're experiencing. Not always, but sometimes. We also see in this text that God wants to give good things to us, but we'll withhold things that aren't good for you. Some of the reasons, James talks about this, some of the reasons we don't have what we're asking for is because we ask with the wrong motive. Like, if you drive by that sign, and as much as it would be appealing to have $300 million, or whatever it is right now, sometimes I do think, I would be like, church for you, every friend I have, you want to build, you need... I would love, but I don't want it because I don't trust myself with $300 million. I think it is the worst thing that God could ever give you. fame, popularity, and money are a cancer that destroys most people, pastors included. I don't think we're designed to receive that. And so there's some things that we're asking for. God, if you'll just give me this, that he knows in his goodness that that thing will not get you what he needs you to have. Prayer consistently, persistently, ongoing is learning to trust God with what is going on. Here's a hard text. And if you're looking for a memory verse, and you struggle with memory verse, I'm going to give you one right here. You can walk out of here today memorized. You can be like, I got a verse today at church. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Rejoice always. Rejoice always. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. You could leave today and be like, I have memorized. Mary wept. There's another one for you. But 1 Thessalonians 5:16, 17, and 18, it says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And give thanks, and this is the hard part, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. The moment that we're in, easy or hard, God has us in that moment for a purpose. I don't know that I could exist as a pastor or as a follower of Jesus, and this is not trying to get into the theological deep end, but I don't know that I could exist without a high view of God's sovereignty. Because when life is out of control, it is easy to lose our minds, but if we have a view of God, sovereign and loving, working his purpose to his end, we get to trust where we're at. We get to look at things and give thanks in all circumstances. Whether difficult or easy, we get to give thanks for all circumstances because we see the will of God moving himself through where we're at. And I say this all the time. All the time. Some of the best things that God can do for you is difficulties. I mean, that you're like, I don't want this church. Go on. Going to the next place. Some of the best things that God can do for your faith and your life with him is difficulties. Because you know what difficulties do? It does one of two things. It makes you run away from him and hate him, or it makes you run towards him. Like, not many of us have had an easy, comfortable year and get to the end of that and go, I am a stronger follower of Jesus. You're like, man, that was a great year. You love it. You want every year to be just like that. But the truth is, when you get to the end of those hard years that you've stayed faithful to the purpose and mission of God, you get to see yourself, man, I have grown and stretched. James, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face all kinds of trials and tribulations. Romans 5, same thing. Our lives, we can't be whole or complete without difficult things. And prayer is what shapes us. It anchors us when we continue to ask for his grace and favor and life through these things. It changes our hearts. The journey is as important or even more important than the destination. Like, sometimes we can get so heaven-focused that we forget that is our that is the thing that we get in the future, but we don't get heaven, just, we get to experience the goodness of God right here, right now. It's the journey that gets us there. So don't despise the journey until you see where it's taking you. Some people in this room could be so angry and so bitter at what God is doing because all you can see is the now moment. All you can see is the pain and suffering. You don't see what God is working, what God is doing. See, prayer keeps us aware that the Father is leading, guiding, and showing us the way. We have to keep following. And just in case you're unaware, like, okay, this was a one-off, and Jesus did this. In the same gospel, seven chapters later in Luke 18, I'm just going to kind of paraphrase this one. I'm going to give you the first line of it. In verse 1, He tells them another parable at the beginning of that. And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought to always pray and not lose heart. And that one's couched under this phrase, if you're looking for it, and I encourage you to read it later, is this persistent widow. So this widow that has no one else, and she's been wronged, and she goes to an unjust judge. He doesn't fear God, nothing. He doesn't care about anything else. And the widow goes to him asking for justice, and he says no. And the widow comes back to him day after day after day after day. And the judge doesn't do the right thing because he should do the right thing. The judge does the right thing because she is wearing him down. And he gives her justice. And again, I don't tell you that so that you could be the annoying, dee, dee, dee. God's going to give it to me. Dee, dee, dee. Jesus is letting us understand that our willingness to continue to ask God for things is a connection to Him. See, the friend at midnight and the persistent widow get access not because they are strong, but because they are desperate. Learned desperation is at the heart of a praying life. Because let me tell you, let me translate what prayer is. Prayer is an open acknowledgement that you cannot solve your problem. You cannot fix what's happening. And when you pray, you're asking God to do what you cannot do. So if you choose not to pray, you're basically saying to the Father, I have enough wisdom and money and time or whatever to accomplish what I need to accomplish. But the truth is, the things that God has called us here to do, we cannot do on our own. We cannot accomplish the things that He has called us to. And prayer is an open acknowledgement that I'm needy, that I'm desperate, that I need you. And I know sometimes it becomes real easy to not ask because you feel like you're asking over and over again. And my encouragement to you this morning from His Word is to keep praying. Don't give up on what God is trying to do. See, our Father wants a continuing, ongoing relationship with His kids. He wants you to keep asking, knocking, and seeking. Don't lose heart. He is a good Father, and He wants to show Himself to you. Our knowledge of Him comes from that place. He is a better friend, a better father, and a better judge than these stories. They're letting you know that the minimum of what our world offers, and He is more. And He wants to bless His kids. And so here's a question for you this morning. Just like the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, we don't get access to the Father without Him being our Father. And so one of the things I can't encourage you to keep praying if you're not connected to Him. So my encouragement to you this morning is that you can know the Father now and have access to Him in prayer, not by your good works. You could come in here, and this is the beauty. The Pharisees hated Jesus because He hung around people that they didn't think deserved heaven, deserved salvation. They didn't deserve access into the family of God. He was hanging around with tax collectors and prostitutes and sinners. Because the availability for the kingdom, for child status, is for all of those who call on His name. Our beginning and our continued relationship with Him is a needy one. You don't come to the Father with this great spread. It's not like an interview where you're like, I deserve to be on your team. Everyone who comes to the Father, and Isaiah says it this way, that you know our greatest works of righteousness are but a polluted garment. Our greatest things that we could offer the Father aren't good enough. And if you approach the Father with that mindset of like, you want me because I'm good, you've missed the grace of the Father. And so my encouragement to this morning, if you are His kid, don't forget it. allow that status with him as a placeholder for you to continually go to him in prayer. And if you're not his kid, the beauty of it is today, right now, you can declare yourself to be his by acknowledging your inability to save yourself. You cannot fix what is broken in you. God knew that from the beginning, made a plan from Genesis, well, from the beginning of time, but we are acknowledged, or we see the pattern, we see it happening in Genesis 3:15. We see his plan unfolding, but he came and did what we couldn't do. He saved us through his life. He lived the perfect, sinless life, went willingly to the cross so that he could pay the penalty for our sin, so that we could have this. We cannot have this conversation about keep praying if we don't first have a relationship with the Father. We've asked over the last 3 weeks, every year at the beginning of the year, we do 21 days of prayer and fasting. And so what we've asked over the last 21 days, and now you're set, you have 7 days left. So if you're like, I want to finish strong, 7 days. And here's what we've asked you during our 21 days of prayer and fasting. One, that you make room in your life. And we call that fasting. That can be a meal. That can be a day. That could be isolating yourself from things that are distracting you, like things that are on your phone, social media, Netflix, other things. Making room so that you can, and here's what we've been asking, that you could read the Word. And so my encouragement, if you're first hearing this, over the next 7 days, spend time in the Word every day. We have one-year Bibles on our table. You can grab one on the way out. You can open up to tomorrow's date and read a little bit of Old Testament, a little bit of Psalm and Proverbs. And if you read that in a calendar year, you will read the entire Bible. Our gift to you if you don't have one. But we're also asking you to pray for 6 things. 3 are yours. Three of them are things that you want, and be specific. It's hard to know if God answers vague prayers. Ask for specific things and keep praying them. And then we ask for you to pray for 3 things for our church. One, we want to see people get saved. Our whole purpose here is that not only that we would grow in our understanding of God so that we would make good disciples who disciple and train other people, but we want people to see and experience Jesus for the first time. We want to see salvations. We want to see his kingdom advance, not only in those areas where people are getting saved, but in our community. That's why in our little statement, Jesus in our hearts, homes, and cities, we cannot change our cities if we don't change our hearts. We can't change our homes unless it starts here. And then the last thing, of course, and we'll be praying for this until we break ground or actually until we get in there. We'd love a building. Selfishly, we ask for you to begin to pray for that. And that's another one of those. So I'm going to invite our worship team to come back up. You have a little communion cup on your seat next to you. And you may be, it may be your first Sunday, and sometimes with communion, you're like, who's this for? Here's the offering for communion. You don't have to be a member here. You don't have to have ever been here before. Communion is offered to all of those who call on Jesus as their Lord and Savior. If you haven't done that, you can do that before. We're going to go into a song. You can pray for life in Christ and take communion. But that's who this is for. And if that's not you, there is no judgment. No one's going to look around and go, he did not take communion. You may have other reasons that you don't take it. That's fine. But we're going to take communion during the song. And our encouragement to you is that when you get to that place, pause. One of the reasons why we do this once a month as a community and every Sunday in our back is we don't want this to just be some pattern that we do. We just, every week, every month, every week we do this. We want this to be a reminder because Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he did this even before, and he told his disciples, he broke bread and he said, this is my body that has been broken for you. They didn't know specifically what he was talking about. Do this in remembrance of me. And at the end of the meal, he poured out wine and he passed it around. He said, this is the blood of the new covenant. Take this in remembrance of me. This is our reminder. This is your reminder. If you need one, this is your reminder that God has done for you what you could not do for yourself. This is your reminder that you're welcome to persistently pray for whatever, because you're a child. And let God shape and mold your heart as you ask over and over. But this is a reminder also for us in this room that may not feel the community yet. This is what makes us family. We don't have the same moms and dads, didn't grow up in the same areas, but the beauty of the gospel community is we are made family through this. So I'm going to pray for us. If you'll go ahead and stand up. I failed to do this first service last week. I've been trying to start a new habit where I'm going to bless you guys. So I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to bless you guys, and then we're going to go into our song, and you can take communion when you're ready. So, Father, you know what things we're wrestling with. You know what things that you want us to be praying for. You know those things that are breaking our heart that we want to see happen. Lord, I pray that you would give us the confidence to continue to ask. And, Lord, more than anything, Lord, I pray that you would show us your answered prayers. And so, Lord, I pray for those in this room that life is a lot more difficult than they had planned. And they're hurting and struggling. And, Lord, I pray for the reality of you being known as a comforter. Lord, your words has come to me, are you weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so, Lord, I pray this morning that we would be eager to come to you, bow ourselves before you, and experience your love. And so, Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this reminder through communion of your grace and your mercy. We love you, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. So the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Thank you for joining us today on the Reach Community Church podcast. We'd love to have you join us next Sunday. You can learn more about our mission at reachcommunitychurch.com.